What's going on, everyone? Welcome into the Fantasy Bros Dynasty Football Podcast presented by Reality Sports Online. My name is Kyle Yates, and I am your host, and I'm joined, as always, by Ray Garvin. Ray, I sure hope the people are still listening, because I made a serious blunder last week when we got off the podcast. After we published it, I went, we didn't tell the people that we were only doing one show last week. I was out Thursday for my anniversary, celebrating my five-year anniversary. And that was one of the things, like, once it got published, I was like, yep, I didn't do that. And there's nothing that I can do about it. We can't edit the podcast. I sure hope that you're listening to this and that you weren't just sitting there on Friday morning or late Thursday night, just refreshing your podcast feed. Sorry about that. But no, we are back. We got to get ready for Dynasty Rookie Drafts. Ray, how are we doing, man?
You know, I was one of the people sitting there waiting, because I didn't know until that day. And then I saw you tweet out about your anniversary. And the first thing I was thinking, I was like, this dude is bold. He is bold to record a Dynasty pod on his anniversary. And then it kind of put two and two together. I was like, he ain't doing the show. So it's good to be back on the mic with you. I hope you enjoyed the anniversary with your wife. Beautiful thing, man. But I'm glad to have you back and jump on the mic to talk about some tight ends, man.
Yeah. So for tonight's show, we've got tight ends that we're going to be talking about, and then also a listener mailbag. Of course, this show with the tight ends, we're not talking 20 prospects. We're not going 20 deep with these guys like we were with running back or wide receiver. We're not splitting tight ends into two different shows. There's only a handful that we need to talk about for fantasy purposes. So we'll kind of fly through those and make sure that we hit the top guys, and then we got a listener mailbag. Before we get into that, though, I got to tell you guys about our YouTube channel. Of course, you can be watching this podcast over at youtube.com/fantasypros. Want to make sure that you guys know about this, because we're putting exclusive content out over there. If you can't get enough of the podcast here with the Dynasty podcast or our main podcast, the fantasy football one, you can head over to youtube.com/fantasypros, and you're going to find a 3-round NFL mock draft that we're going to be putting out here within the next couple of days. So make sure that you head over there. We're doing our NFL draft live stream for round one on draft night. That'll be going. We had like 88,000 views on that last year. We had a ton of people hanging out with us all night. We had people tell us that they like completely turned off ESPN, NFL Network, the main coverage, because they loved the fact no commercials. We're talking football, and we're talking about how these players fit with their new teams and the fantasy outlook of it. So make sure that you're tuning into that. I want to double that number. Let's get up to 160,000, 170,000 people hanging out with us for round one. And then, of course, just make sure that you head over there, subscribe, click the bell to make sure that you get notified of each new video and live stream. Again, that's youtube.com/fantasypros. Additionally, guys, we have the Travis Etienne signed football giveaway still going on. Go to Apple Podcasts or CastBox and leave a review for the show. Then go to fantasypros.com/dynasty contest. Fill out the short form there and attach a screenshot of your review to be entered for a Travis Etienne signed football giveaway, courtesy of our friends at Pristine Auction. Again, that's fantasypros.com/dynasty contest for more information. All right, Ray, let's kick off the conversation here with the tight ends. And we got to start the conversation off with the unicorn. He sits at number 2 overall on my big board, like my overall big board of offensive tackles, quarterbacks, everything. It's Kyle Pitts, the tight end out of Florida. And if you've listened to this podcast for any length of time, you know the name. If you paid attention to the NFL draft, you know the name of Kyle Pitts. But just give us a summary here, Ray, the elevator pitch of what Pitts brings to an NFL team, and then we'll talk about the fantasy impact. But let's get a sense of what Pitts is, who he is, and what he brings to an NFL team.
Yeah, he's the ultimate mismatch nightmare. That's the simplest way to explain it. If you have not seen this player move, if you haven't seen him operate on the field, he's too big for cornerbacks. He's too fast for linebackers. Safeties really can't stick with him. I mean, at the point, the projected number one corner, at least one of the top corners in the 2021 NFL draft, J.C. Horn, they're having to lock him up man-to-man against Kyle Pitts. You see a guy, Derek Stingley Jr. is a top-rated cornerback in the 2022 class from LSU. They had to put him on Kyle Pitts to just cover him. He is monstrous. He's a freak. He moves like a wide receiver, but he plays this move tight end position, and he's actually a lot better in line than people give him credit for. We saw his, athletic profile at the pro day. He's crazy. He's ridiculous. He's a freak tight end.
Standing at 6'6", 245 pounds, he should not be able to move the way that he does. And so when you see a guy like that, and you mentioned just a mismatch nightmare at every level of the field, this is not just someone who you are going to feed the ball underneath and he's just going to be a chain mover. No, you can get him out on posts. Like, you can send him on go routes, nine routes, like get him out downfield. And you won't have an answer for him. NFL defenses will not have an answer for Kyle Pitts. Now, in the NFL draft, and let's talk about this before we move on to the fantasy aspect of this, Kyle Pitts stands a very good chance of going at number 4 overall to the Atlanta Falcons. Like, I think that he's going to be off the board at the latest, number 6 overall. And that's just not really normal for a tight end. TJ Hawkinson at number 8 overall a couple years ago to the Detroit Lions, and that was like, okay, that's a little rich for a guy like TJ Hawkinson. Yes, he's great and a well-rounded prospect, but Pitts is just that on a whole other level. So let's talk about the fantasy aspect of Pitts and what he brings specifically from a dynasty perspective. So we look at the rosters that have Travis Kelce, Darren Waller, Zach Ertz when he was, you know, what he was with Carson Wentz. Like, these main top tier guys, Rob Gronkowski for the longest time, George Kittle, all these guys, and we look at those rosters, and if we do not have any of those players, we covet them, right? Because it's just such a you set it and forget it position when you have that top tier guy, rather than trying to roll the dice and figure out matchups and the streaming game with these lower level tight ends. So Kyle Pitts, and I'll just phrase it to you this way, what is the highest, if you, like, let's take out need out of the conversation, in a dynasty rookie draft, let's say just a one QB format, what is the highest pick in a rookie draft that you would be actually willing to pull the trigger? Not like what you think his range is, like you personally, you're sitting there on the clock, you have the 103, you have the 102, is it 104? What is that range where you say, this is the earliest that I'd be willing to take Kyle Pitts off the board?
I probably am sitting around 104, 105. That would be the earliest I would think about taking him. I'm not taking him over my top two receivers, Chase and Smith, not taking him over Najee Harris. So the conversation for me starts Travis Etienne, Javonte Williams, or Kyle Pitts. And I do think from a dynasty perspective, if you are a believer that he could potentially become George Kittle, Travis Kelce type impact, having a player like that on your dynasty roster is such a positional advantage. I think it's worth the risk because we don't see these type of tight ends. Yes, Noah Fant's athletic profile is there and Vernon Davis, but we don't see these guys year after year after year after year. Pitts is special. So I think running 104, 105 range is where I'd feel comfortable taking him, pulling the trigger.
Yeah, that's right around where I was. The 105 was kind of that, like, that's where I could stomach pulling the trigger on Kyle Pitts with the positional value in mind, right? Because the need for running back is so crucial, especially with some of these guys who are guaranteed, like, the main workload in their backfields. Now, as we see more and more teams starting to go towards committees, and you're finding the workhorse running back is kind of going out of style. So when you can get those locked in guys, which I do believe that Javonte Williams and Najee Harris are going to be, that would be a little bit more difficult for me to pull the trigger. But to be able to walk away with someone like Kyle Pitts at the 105, regardless of need on my roster, I would feel pretty great about. Let's move on to a guy, like, I really don't think that we need to dive too much more into Kyle Pitts. Like, we've talked about him a lot. We know that he's going to be great. And us saying that we would take a tight end at the 105 in a one QB format pretty much speaks to it. So let's talk about Pat Freiermuth, the tight end out of Penn State. He is my tight end too in this class. And so let's talk about him and what he brings to the table. Now, 6'5", 251 pounds, just a little bit heavier than Kyle Pitts, 1 inch smaller. So Freiermuth, in your opinion, what is going to be his best utilization in the NFL? Is he a blocking tight end, or is he a, like, athletic, could soak up targets, could be the next, you know, reliable fantasy tight end? What's kind of your outlook on Pat Freiermuth?
Oh, man, listen, Pat Freiermuth is the reason why if I was a little reluctant to pull or hesitant to pull the trigger on Kyle Pitts at 104, 105, you're talking about middle of the second, back into the second, I could potentially get Pat Freiermuth, who, if Kyle Pitts weren't in this class, he would be far and away the tight end one. He would have been tight end one last year. And yep, if you go back 2 years and you throw him in a class with, you know, Hawkinson and Fant, I think he would have been right up there as well. The game that sold me on Freiermuth being much more than an inline tight end. And I know everyone has seen the truck stick that he did versus Memphis 2 years ago in the bowl game. But go back to 2019 and watch him versus Ohio State, the same Ohio State team that had Chase Young, Jeff Okuda. And I charted that game. He played in the slot, you know, 30% of the time. He played out wide at X. He was in line. He played H-back. And, I mean, he's playing against Sean Wade, Jeff Okuda. Just fantastic display of his athleticism and talent versus the Ohio State Buckeyes in that game. So when I saw that, he's a versatile move tight end with speed. He's a hell of an athlete. I know there were some people who questioned, was he even going to play football, because he's a tremendous baseball player as well. But they've coined him Baby Gronk, and he plays really good. And, you know, we talk about Kyle Pitts being a dynasty tight end one really soon. I believe Pat Freiermuth is, you're looking at easily a top 10 future tight end in dynasty.
I really do feel bad for Pat Freiermuth, because if you did not have a player, again, I'm talking about Kyle Pitts as the number two overall player on my big board as a tight end, if we didn't have him in this class, we would absolutely be talking more about Pat Freiermuth and what he brings to the table. When you watch Kansas City Chiefs games, and those are so frequently on national television now, that you're likely to just see and watch Travis Kelce and just come away wowed at his ability to move at his size. Now, Kelce, I think, is plays at 260. That's what he's listed at. And his ability to sink his hips and pivot, and those pivot routes, right? You see that all the time with Kelce. That is an absolute mismatch. When you have a tight end who can move the way that he does at his size, that is what we call a mismatch. You can't put a smaller corner on him. It absolutely just is not going to be able to stick with him. And then if he does stick with him somehow, he's not going to be able to get around him to be able to get to the ball. He's going to have that big frame to block it out, wide catch radius. And then so Freiermuth is very much in that mold of a Travis Kelce. Now, he's not Travis Kelce. He's got a lot of refinement that he has to do before he gets to that level. But we're talking about a rookie coming out of college. Freiermuth has the potential to play that Travis Kelce role in an NFL offense. And as NFL teams look across the league and they see what Kelce, Kittle, Darren Waller, what these players are doing at the tight end position, they're going to want to get their hands on him. So Freiermuth in NFL mock drafts, I can see him going, like, he goes off the board anywhere between pick 23 to the New York Jets, who have a tight end need, to, I mean, the middle of the second round. But I think that the middle of the second round is really his floor. I could easily see him going off the board in the first round of the 2021 NFL draft. And if that's the case, then we're talking about him as a valuable, valuable fantasy asset, because a team is signaling that he is going to be a key part of their offense. You know, if he ends up in New York, they have a need there at tight end. Jacksonville, if they go offense, right? They take Trevor Lawrence and they double down with their second first round pick and they take Freiermuth, or even at the top of the second round, that's going to be a fantastic landing spot for Freiermuth for his fantasy outlook. So we did a one QB rookie mock draft recently, right? We did that two rounder, and I got Freiermuth at the 211, I think, off the top of my head. And, you know, Pitts went off at the 104, 105. And I said, given the price tag, I'm not opposed. I really was like, I actually might lean Pat Freiermuth here at the 211, all things considered, versus spending that top five capital on Kyle Pitts.
Yeah, I mean, listen, it's the reason why, and don't misconstrue this. Kyle Pitts is ridiculous, right? He could be, I don't want to use the word generational, but he could be a game-changing elite tight end.
Right.
But Pat Freiermuth has that same type of ability to be a Pro Bowl caliber tight end year in and year out. I mean, he's honestly that good. And like you said at the beginning of your conversation part right here, I feel bad for him, because any other year we're salivating over the potential of Pat Freiermuth, but he just so happens to be in a class with Kyle Pitts, and there we are.
Before we keep moving with today's episode, I want to take a second to tell you all about Reality Sports Online. By now, most of you have probably heard of Reality Sports Online, the powerful fantasy sports platform where owners get to build and manage their fantasy team like an NFL general manager. Have you tried it, though? It's time to go see what all the buzz in the Dynasty community is about. Everything from free agency to multi-year contracts, a rookie draft, multi-team trades, franchise tag, contract extensions, first-round rookie options, automated contract and salary cap functionality, and much, much more can be found at Reality Sports Online. Do you think it sounds complicated, though? It's not. The best thing about Reality Sports Online Fantasy Front Office is that it doesn't take any more time than a standard league. It just requires more strategy. Think you're among the fantasy elite? Well, it's time to put it to the test with Reality Sports Online. You're still not sure, though? You can test out your general manager's skills for free in a mock free agency auction. If you like what you see, use the promo code FANTASYPROS to receive a 10% discount on your team or league today. Fantasy just got real at realitysportsonline.com. Let's move on to the consensus tight end 3 in this class, and we'll talk about our rankings here as we move on. But that's Brevin Jordan, the tight end out of Miami. So Jordan drew some comparisons early on to Jonnu Smith as far as the role that he could play in an NFL offense. Now, I don't necessarily see the same level of athleticism there with Brevin Jordan. That's backed up by his pro day numbers. Didn't exactly have the best performance there and showcase. But let's talk about Jordan and what he can bring to an NFL team. Do you think that if you miss out on Pitts, Freiermuth, are you okay with taking Jordan there and feeling pretty comfortable that he can be a reliable fantasy option? Or does he start to tip towards this range of he's going to fall into that streaming tight end conversation? I really don't know if he's going to take that leap to ever become a top tier option.
Oh, man. I'm not okay. I like Brevin Jordan, but I think it's Pitts on an island by himself. It's Pat Freiermuth sort of in a tier of his own. And then it's Brevin Jordan and everybody else kind of after that. So I would not be happy with that if that's the third tight end that I'm looking at.
Yeah, I think so. Let's talk about Jordan. Fantastic hands, really, really reliable, was moved out all over the field, was moved out to the slot. He played in the backfield in some instances. He's one of those players that you can move around, and he was very, very successful at Miami. Now it's just a matter of, does the athleticism, does that translate? He's looking at a 4.69 40-yard dash at his pro day, 17 reps on the bench press, only a 31-inch vertical jump, 116-inch broad jump. These are not crazy great numbers in comparison. Kyle Pitts, 4.44 40-yard dash, 34-inch vertical jump, 129-inch broad jump to 116. He's just, of course, it's Kyle Pitts, but he's not even on the same planet as far as athleticism. So I think it's the draft capital conversation with Brevin Jordan. Where is he going to land? Is he going to end up in the back of the second round, early third round of the NFL? I don't think that he brings you a ton as a blocker. So now teams are going to be relying on him as that receiver. But does the athleticism give him enough of a boost in the NFL draft to get that draft capital where we say, I feel comfortable taking Brevin Jordan in the third round or back of the second round in my dynasty rookie drafts? I just don't know if that's going to be there to the point where I feel super confident in him.
Yeah, that's where I'm at, man. I'm just, he should be a day two pick, right? He should be at worst I'm just kind of playing this out, at worst a third round pick. But I don't think he was nearly as athletic as we thought he would be, right? I think a lot of people were thinking he could potentially be a slightly less athletic than Kyle Pitts. And he's
right,
not.
Right.
You know, I don't even know if he's more I'm with you. I'm just not confident that he's going to get, again, I think a third round pick. If I had to bet money on it, I think he goes in round 3. But if we roll into Saturday of the NFL draft and Brevin Jordan is still on the board and we're talking about him being a fourth round tight end, it wouldn't shock me.
It wouldn't for me either. And I think this is really good for us to have this conversation and kind of get the listeners involved too, where we're saying follow our thought process here as we're talking this out on the podcast together. We haven't talked about these guys, right? We're talking about it here. And when we talk about Kyle Pitts and Pat Freiermuth, we get to, and I'm in agreement with Ray. It's Pitts in a tier by himself, Freiermuth kind of in that next tier down. And then after that, it really is murky. This is where we get into the tight end landscape where we say landing spot and draft capital matter so much with these remaining guys. So let's talk about one of those other remaining guys. Let's just kind of fly through these last two that we've got on the docket here. That is Tommy Tremble, the tight end out of Notre Dame. Tremble kind of came out of nowhere here in the pre-draft process. I just watched his tape just the other day. Came away pretty impressed playing that H-back role there in the Notre Dame offense. Really, stylistically, used very similarly to Jonnu Smith. If you want to make the comparisons of Brevin Jordan to Jonnu Smith, I would say, hey, pump the brakes. There actually might be another guy in this class who you can compare to him. That's Tommy Tremble, fantastic blocker. really athletic, 4.64 yard dash, 20 reps on the bench press, 37-inch vertical jump, which is great, 122 inch broad jump. Those are fantastic numbers, testing numbers for a tight end. And I think with Tremble now, it's just a matter of the consistency. Where was he, right? The conversation of where was he this entire time where he really wasn't on our radar much, but a great blocker. That's what's going to get him onto the field. So with Tremble, very similarly to Jonnu Smith, I think it might take him a year. It might take him 2 years before we get to that point where we're talking about Tremble as a reliable fantasy option. That's not someone that I'm willing to take in the third, fourth round of my rookie drafts because I'll wait someone else out and they'll most likely drop him and then I can scoop him up later.
Yeah, and here's the thing, and this is going to be the shallowest analysis of them all. I mean, if you're a tight end from Notre Dame, I'm going to take a chance on you. I mean, Kyle Rudolph, the list goes on and on. Yeah, Cole Kmet. I just want tight ends from Notre Dame. I mean, those tight ends and Stanford tight ends always seem to find a way to make it happen. But no, in actuality, Tommy Tremble is the athlete that we thought Brevin Jordan could be. Right. And he's a tremendous blocker. He's very physical. And he played an offense where Ian Book was a scramble type quarterback, right? When things broke down.
Yeah.
I mean, he's running the ball.
When his first read wasn't there, yes, he was scrambling.
Yes. Yeah. I'm trying to be nice here. When things broke down and he couldn't find anybody, he's going to run. So here's the thing. Here's my sort of spiel on tight ends. You're just projecting athleticism, right? Like, are you an athlete?
Completely.
Are you going to get draft capital? And will you maybe get a chance down the line? Tommy Tremble checks all those boxes.
Absolutely. All right, let's look at the last guy here on our list. That is Hunter Long, the tight end out of Boston College. I have not personally had a chance to watch Hunter Long and his tape yet. I've got some work on tight ends that I have to do here and these lower level guys. But this is really like the consensus guys that you'll find at the top. Hunter Long belonging in this tier. So I'm going to turn the conversation to you, Ray, and just say, what do you like about Long? What do you like about his tape? And what caused you to mention him here in this conversation?
Yeah, he's a target monster. You know, when you're getting 89 targets in college, that led all tight ends in college football with targets, and it was 22 more than the next tight end. He led the country with 57 receptions, 685 receiving yards in the ACC. He is a versatile tight end. When I first really noticed him was when Boston College played against Clemson and he ran a seam route and just burnt Isaiah Simmons down the seam. And I was like, who is this Hunter Long guy? And honestly, he's my tight end 3 in the class. And I just challenge you, Yates, just take a look at him. He's a player that I think is going to get drafted a lot higher than people expect. Remember when Drew Sample went in the second round? That was a horrible pick, but Drew Sample was a second round pick.
Right.
It would not shock me. Okay, just hear me out. It wouldn't shock me if Hunter Long was the second tight end off of the board in the NFL draft. Wow. And I do believe that he's going to be a starting tight end in the NFL. The kid can play. He's athletic and he's got the size. He's a very, very solid tight end.
Perfect. All right, man. Yeah, I definitely have put a star next to Hunter Long's name to make sure that I scout him before the NFL draft. Really appreciate you bringing him up there. So as far as just a recap of these guys, and let's just go through our like rankings here. I've only scouted a handful of these guys. So it really is just in the order that we talked about them for me. It's Kyle Pitts at 1. We mentioned him in that tier. Pat Freiermuth in that next tier by himself. And then Brevin Jordan and Tommy Tremble from their tape grades and then factoring in athletic scoring, they are virtually identical grades for me. So flip a coin there with either Brevin Jordan, Tommy Tremble. Landing spot is going to dictate a ton there. So do you want to talk about your rankings there? I'm assuming you've got Kyle Pitts at tight end 5, right?
Kyle Pitts is he's a priority free agent ad. I mean, no. I mean, come on, man. He's tight end 1. I've got Pat Freiermuth at tight end 2. Hunter Long at tight end 3. Brevin Jordan, tight end 4, and right now I've got Kenny Yeboah from Ole Miss at tight end 5.
Okay, you want to talk about Yeboah really quick, or is this just kind of another guy? Like, keep an eye athlete. On him when you...
Yeah.
Athlete, perfect.
Athlete, probably a day 3 pick, somebody that I have no problem. You know, you probably can get him off of waivers after your rookie draft. Let him sit, let him develop. He's got talent, just an athlete.
All right, perfect. Let's move into the mailbag section here. Hunter Green asks, what's the best way to convince your league to switch from one quarterback format two super flex, or should a home league stay one quarterback? For me, a home league should not have to stay one quarterback. I'm kind of in the same like predicament, if you want to call it, where my main dynasty league that I've been playing with guys from college, we've been one quarterback since we started, and there are a few of us where we want to push it to super flex. It's a very, very difficult transition because you've got guys who have never played the format before. They don't know about it. They don't really want to buy in. And that has to be a long transition. You just can't go 1 year from, hey, we're a one QB format, to the next year, hey, we're super flex. You got to give teams more notice to be able to build up that equity at the quarterback position, right? The guys who are streaming quarterback in a one QB dynasty league are suddenly going to be just irrelevant in a super flex league if they only have that one quarterback, right? If they've got like Drew Lock and Teddy Bridgewater or something like that, right? So I think that's going to be the situation where you got to kind of give them a heads up. I really don't have any tips as far as how to make that transition. It really is just going to be all about doing your research, being able to propose the highlights of it, and then go from there. And if you got to do the majority vote, that's what I'm a huge proponent of. You got to do majority vote for your rule changes in your league. If it doesn't get a majority vote, then it doesn't pass. You can't have that one guy who's the dictator or the commissioner, you know, commissioner dictator of your league. So As far as the best way to convince your league to switch, you really just got to kind of propose it, get the highlights out there, and then see what happens. Ray, do you have anything that you want to add on that question?
Yeah, I would say the only other thing that you can really do is after the vote, give it like a year in statement. Like, okay, the vote passed, you know, in January after the season. Vote passed in January 2021. The actual change won't take effect until after this upcoming season, because if you drafted for a single quarterback, like give your league at least a year to kind of prepare, make some moves, make some trades to adjust for the changes. So whenever you guys vote, just don't start the super flex league or 2QB league that same year. Wait a season and then sort of implement it. I think that will ease the pain of the change.
Absolutely. All right. So Caleb Mosley asks, when is the best time frame to have a dynasty startup draft? I'll let you handle this one. When is the best time frame to have a dynasty startup draft?
Anytime, man. Come on. I mean, honestly, I think there are pros and cons to all types of time frames. Right now, I like doing stuff pre-draft. I like to, you know, use the scouting. Let's see how good of a scout you are. Have conviction and select your players. I think, you know, the traditional time, you know, summer, August before the NFL season. But I also like doing mid-season dynasty startups because you can take advantage of, you know, injuries and value. You know, I did a mid-season startup and got Saquon Barkley in the third round a year ago.
Right,
so
right.
I think there are different stages, but they all have their benefits. They all have their pros and their cons. Honestly, I know it's kind of a cop-out answer, but anytime it's a great time to do a dynasty startup.
Brian Greenberry asks, when you are in your rookie drafts, do you go with best player available or do you draft by team needs? So for me, it really does depend on the situation and how glaring the team need is, right? I'm in a rebuild in one of my dynasty leagues where I had to fold it in. I've got three of the top four picks in my rookie draft and, you know, I have no running backs on my roster. So I am really committing, and I made that decision when I sold off these players. I'm committing to taking at least two running backs there within those top four, top five picks that I've got. So it really does depend on how glaring the need is, but you don't want to get to the end. You got to play with tiers, right? You got to be able to look at these guys and group them. And let's take the running back class this year where you say Najee Harris, Travis Etienne, Javonte Williams, they're all in this tier by themselves. And whatever order you want to put them in, that's fine. Then you say, okay, Kenneth Gainwell, Michael Carter, they might be in this next tier by themselves. And then the next tier of running backs is this player, this player, this player. Do your own rankings. Take the advice that we've given, our insight, and you do your own rankings. You determine your tiers. If you get to the end, you get to pick four, and all three of those players in your top tier are gone, and you still have the top player in your wide receiver tier available, don't move on to that next tier. Unless you have that glaring need where you have to reach, don't move on to that next tier and just take the next running back on your ranking board. No, play that value game. Look at the tiers that you have available and say, okay, all three of these top tier running backs are gone, but I've got wide receiver one in this tier still available. I think I'm going to take him here and then I can try to figure out running back later on in this draft. That would be my advice. Ray, do you have any conflicting advice to that? Any different ways of approaching that?
No, I honestly think you hit the nail on the head. I echo those same sentiments. Nothing else that I would like to add. I just, the big thing is know your room, know your league mates, and kind of let the board fall to you. And just, you have to be prepared for the unexpected. I promise you, however you think that draft is going to play out, when it actually happens, things will change.
All right, let's look at one more question here. This is from Dark Wing Duct. How would you rank the 2021 and 2022 QBs together? I have Lamar Jackson, Deshaun Watson, Jalen Hurts in a 12-team Superflex Dynasty League. I also have two picks in 2021, the 104 and the 107, and three 2022 first-round picks. I'd like to grab Najee Harris and or Pitts if 2022 QB looks good. So let's kind of split this into two different parts here where we can answer the first question, then we can talk about his team. So how would you rank the 2021 and 2022 QBs together? I'll turn it to you because you've done more work on this 2022 QB class than I have, but and then I can obviously chime in with my thoughts on 2021.
Yeah, 2022, there are a lot of quarterbacks that are jockeying for position to be the guy, and I'm sure we'll see a couple of those quarterbacks drafted early because that's what we do in the NFL. They draft quarterbacks early. It's the revolving door of trying to find the franchise changer. Right now, if I had to be completely honest, there are only two guys that I feel comfortable with and confident, and that's Spencer Rattler and Sam Howell. And after that, you got a bunch of guys from JT Daniels, Grayson McCall, Desmond Ridder, Carson Strong, Malik Willis. I would rather have one of these guys in 2021.
Yeah, I'm going to echo that sentiment where I say 2021 with this class and how special it can be for the guys from a fantasy perspective where the top four guys all bring that valuable rushing ability. That would be something where I kind of lean and hang my hat on that. Whereas with next year, it's really unpredictable to say, okay, are we going to see a Malik Willis come and just skyrocket? Are we going to see Desmond Ridder take that next step forward? Like, who is going to be that next player who comes out of nowhere? The Joe Burrows, the Zach Wilsons, the Kyler Murrays, right? There are always these players who rise and come out of nowhere to become the number one, the number two overall pick. So we definitely could see that next year. But if we had to answer that right now, I personally would be looking at the 2021 class as a strength. Now, with your team in specifically with Lamar Jackson, Deshaun Watson, Jalen Hurts, in a 12-team Superflex Dynasty League, it all depends on the rest of like your league and how much they hoard quarterbacks. But I think that you're fine. Like, I think that you're fine going with Najee Harris and or Pitts at the 104 and 107 if they're still there on the board. Because Lamar Jackson, Deshaun Watson, and Jalen Hurts, that's a pretty solid starting trio for next year in a Superflex league. Do you have any, do you disagree with that?
No, I don't. I don't think he's in such dire need that he has to, reach and scramble for a quarterback. You take the best player, Najee Harris, Kyle Pitts. I think you're fine. Lamar Jackson, Jalen Hurts, and listen, Deshaun Watson, we'll see how that plays out. But I think even with Hurts and Lamar Jackson, you're fine. And there's no need to force a pick. Like, get Harris, get Pitts, man.
Yeah, that's my thing, is that you, like Jalen Hurts, you know that you have a starter for at least this season, right? And what happens next year is still up in the air. Let's see how he performs this year. Deshaun Watson, it's trending towards him playing again in 2021 and this kind of just being all cleared. Again, that's just trending. We'll see what happens. The whole situation has yet to play out, but you should be fine with Lamar Jackson, Deshaun Watson, with at least two guaranteed starters, which is more than some Superflex teams have. And then if Deshaun Watson does play, then you have three guaranteed locked and loaded starters, which is a great place to be. I don't think that you have to go after quarterback this year at the 104. Get one of those talented players of Najee Harris and or Kyle Pitts. All right, Ray, that is going to do it for the tight end show today. Thank you to Reality Sports Online for sponsoring the show. Head over to realitysportsonline.com to learn more about their amazing platform. Ray, appreciate you, man. Appreciate the conversation that we had here today. Any final thoughts before we get out of here?
You know, I know you all were enthralled by the fantastic tight end talk that we had today, but honestly, there are some really good tight ends in this class. And just for those of you listening, and I know we didn't ask this question, get your tight ends now because next year it ain't so hot. So get one of these tight ends this year because the 2022 crop of tight ends is not very good.
There's some good insight as we head out, and we will be back on Thursday this week, later on this week, with the quarterback discussion. And yes, ooh, we are starting out with Mac Jones. Ooh. I don't care. We are talking about Mac Jones. off the top, this is going to be a can't miss episode. So looking forward to it. All right, for Ray Garvin, I'm Kyle Yates, and we'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Pros Dynasty Football Podcast. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Fantasy Pros and subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/Fantasy Pros.